Welcome to Unpacking with Jennifer. I'm your host, Jennifer Sattell. This is the podcast where we get real about all the things, from raising kids and managing family life to balancing work, endless activities, and somehow keeping your home organized through it all. As a mom and a professional home organizer, I know firsthand how overwhelming it can be. But here's the thing, organization isn't just about pretty containers and tidy shelves. It's about creating systems that work for your busy life, so you can spend more time enjoying your family and less time searching for lost shoes. Each week, we'll dive into everything from decluttering your home to simplifying your schedule, handling the chaos of kids' activities, and finding that elusive balance between work and family life. Because let's be honest, we are all trying to figure it out. So if you're ready to unpack the mess, both inside and out, let's jump into this week's episode. Welcome back to another episode of Unpacking with Jennifer Sattell. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and follow if you want to get the latest episode notifications. Erica is back, part two, and I'm telling you, this one's going to be a page-turner. I do want to tell Erica a story that happened yesterday because in their first episode or our first conversation we had, I talked about how Erica is so calm and like kind of like she just has that nurse. She's definitely a leader, like leader mentality. But she goes in, even when she was like in nursing school, like we talked about, she would jump in, see people over distressed, make sure they're okay, and like very calm. And I always wondered like situations like that. And I've had a couple moments with Charlotte when she was a baby, and I did not feel as confident in that. But yesterday, I was dropping Charlotte off at her lifelong friend, her first best friend, and her technically second best friend when they were in preschool. And we called them the Three Musketeers, and they were going to have a play date. And Marlene, Darla's mom, she has a French bulldog. And he's like a meatball, okay? And he comes running at the gate. We're outside. He comes running at the gate, and he always just like pushes your knees, like you fall. You could almost fall. I mean, he's little, but man, he is a meatball.
Already,
and he
comes, I'm annoyed.
What?
Already, I'm annoyed.
Oh, yeah. And honestly, it kind of hurts. I'll be honest, because his claws and everything. And so I was like, oh my gosh, Mango, you got me. And whatever. Does it again. And then all of a sudden he starts throwing up, right? So like grass, like we see, but it was not unusual. So we kind of look over and I'm like, oh, thank you, Mango, for not throwing up on my feet. Because when he was right at my feet. Okay, cut to 5 seconds later, he takes a couple more steps, he's thrown up, and it's that frothy, disgusting grass shit. A few more steps, he's going, and we're standing there. Now, the girls are kind of laughing. They're like, ew, gross. And Marlene and I are just standing there, and I'm watching him, and then all of a sudden, he's throwing up, but like foam's coming out, but you could tell there's something else. He goes to stand up. He falls on his back. He hits his head and he tries to get up and he can't. And there's just foam. And I'm like, Marlene, I think he's having a seizure or something, right? So, and she's standing closest to him. She's also a doctor. I don't know. I just felt like I should say that. I am not a doctor, but I didn't. And I've heard about seizures. I've done all that stuff. It wasn't right. The way he couldn't even get up. It was like he was discombobulated, and she pulls him up, and now she's sticking her hand in his mouth. I run over there and I get down with her and I'm like, okay. And I'm trying to help her because I don't want to say she froze, but she kind of paused and her hand in there. Well, now I just see blood all over his face and all over his neck. And I'm like, where's this blood coming from? But I guess she had cut her hand on his teeth. So we didn't know that though. Okay. So there's blood everywhere. And I'm like so calm. And I was so calm, Erica. I was rubbing. So I'm digging in his mouth. Nothing's coming out and he cannot breathe. There's no sound at all. And I'm like, oh fuck. And she's just sitting there. I mean, she was helping, but she was kind of just sitting there. And I was like thinking to myself, wow, I really thought I would be the one that was like kind of frozen. Like, I don't know. And I'm laying on the ground. I'm digging. And then I'm just rubbing under his, you know, under his chin or his neck. That's what we do with our dogs when they're like coughing a lot. And he finally, after like 3 minutes, it felt like hours. I'm going to say 3 minutes. I could hear him. You could tell he was trying to get something out, but then there was no breathing. There was nothing. It was just like nothing. And you know, they breathe through their nose and it's like that. And anyways, all of a sudden his tongue like came out and all of a sudden you could hear him like start breathing. But I was rubbing really, really hard and I was also still digging, but there was this blood everywhere and I still couldn't quite figure out. It was all over the It was so crazy. But I was so calm. Now, when she starts crying, Marlene does, and more so just like, what the fuck? And I go, I get a wet paper towel, cold water. I put it all over him, clean him up, and also to cool him down. And he goes in the house and he's laying on the tile, which he always does mm-hmm. on his belly. Mm-hmm. And she's crying. I give her a hug. I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to take off because we were going to leave anyway, or I was going to leave anyway. Bye-bye, Charlotte. You're on your play date. And I get to the car. My hands were totally shaking and I got a little teary-eyed and started crying. But I was like, so calm. And I was going to tell you last night, but then I thought, I'm going to wait for this. Because I thought you would be proud of me because I feel like in my head, I'm always like, why would people scream? Why do people do this? And then I'm like, I probably would end up doing that when you're in the moment. And I was so calm.
I mean, I know Marlon's a physician, but also it's you kind of freeze when it's your own kid or something.
Yeah.
Some people think
their
dogs are their children. His family too. So I'm not surprised that she, and you probably knew that, and you acted on somebody else's, and you did good. You saved the life.
I feel like I did. He was not breathing. And I honestly was
what came out?
And it was really weird too, because they have chickens. I was telling David and he's like, did they get bunnies? Because the grass wasn't like normal blades of grass. It was like, so almost like it looked like if he would have just ate like a whole piece of romaine, like that long of grass, but but wilted down and stuff. And I was like, I don't know. That's what it was though. Like grass, like leaves. Maybe it was like plant leaves or something, but it was something crazy. Like two or three of those came out, but I calmed down and then I was going to call you. And then I'm like, no, I'm going to tell you so I can see, hopefully a tear comes in your eye when you see how amazingly wonderful I was in being calm. Because with Charlotte, when she was a baby, there was a couple moments where I panicked, and a couple times you were there. But yeah, it was, I was like, my hands were totally shaking in the car. I was like, what the fuck just happened? And then I was like, he's okay. And I text her later, is he okay? And she's like, everything's normal.
Oh my gosh.
You know, and I was just like, oh shit. Oh, it was so scary. Especially, she just had a cut on her finger, but you know, in the mouth and with saliva and shit, it was so much blood. It was like, I was like, oh my God, he's bleeding out of his neck. Like he hit his jugular. Yeah. I had no idea.
It was jugular.
It was so crazy. So I wanted to tell you that just as a total random side note, besides all the stuff we want to talk about.
Oh, good.
But that story was like, I had a shot last night after when I got home. It was like a little fireball. I was like, I'm going to do some fireball shot just to, whew. And David's like, I'm really proud of you. And I was like, yeah, I was really proud of myself too. I'm going to pat myself on the back with a shot. So how are you?
Good.
I want to talk about, I know we left off. We have so much to talk about. And I was telling somebody, I was like, you know, we try to do this in this like snippet time. And I've known Erica for, you know, 36 years to squeeze it into 2 hours, you know, is challenging. And I talk a lot, as we know. And I want to talk a little bit more about Isaac. We want to talk a little bit about Isaac because I know he graduated this year and I think we mentioned that.
Yeah, he did.
And is he going to?
Yeah, we graduated. I feel like I graduated as well.
Wait, is he still his job?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah, he's still working.
You did. That was a lot of work. Today. That was a lot of work for you too. So you did graduate as well. You should have had a cap and gown in those pictures.
Yes. Well, I mean, any parent of any kid, you know, invests a lot in helping their kid to graduate. But he's got a bit of the ADHD. So parents who have kids with that diagnosis know that it can be a little more challenging.
Some days a lot
but
more.
We did it.
You freaking
did
it.
He did it.
And everyone's alive.
Yes. He's going to be going to junior college, taking some classes starting very soon.
Close? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so good.
Yeah, yeah. So he's—
But I'm so proud of him for sticking with the job. And I'll tell you why. It's not the sticking with the job. It's hot.
Yeah.
It's hot at the thing.
Yeah. It's hot there.
It's hot there.
I just think it's
all outside. And in the summer, when it's prime hours and you get, you know, hours and stuff, I just think this kid is like a trooper because I'd be like, fuck this shit. Or get one of those new things, the neck fans. Whatever.
Yeah. I'm surprised he hasn't thought of that.
I'm proud of him for that alone. Besides the fact that it's a good responsibility, it does teach all the things that, you know, every kid needs, especially nowadays when we just think we're an influencer. Everyone just thinks they're an influencer and that's how they're going to make a living. He's actually making a living and he's sweating his ass off.
Yeah.
And he's a twig. I'm sorry. He's going to wither down to nothing. He's so skinny.
He's skinny. And No, it was kind of funny because all of his friends, because his friends are younger than him, because again, parents with kids that have ADHD understand that their chronological age versus their maturity age is different. But anyway, all
different.
Of his kids are starting back to school. And, you know, he's texting them jokingly, like, have fun at school. I'm going to be at the skate park all day. So
CEO,
he's been spending some time
you.
There. Yeah. Yeah. Sucks to be you.
So I do want to talk about, I'm going to skip one thing, but it ties into Isaac. So this is a big tie. We're going to back up in a second, but you have Callie and we're going to talk about that in a second. But how special was it seeing you have, she's five, mm-hmm. right? How special was it seeing Isaac with his relationship with her? Because I do think that's pretty special.
So
from what I see, it seems pretty amazing.
Isaac always wanted a sibling. Isaac and I, it was just him and I for about 4 years originally, but he has always, always asked for a sibling. And I would always have the conversation as, you know, it's not like you just go to Target and get one. There's a whole process that ties into
a lot of steps,
just having, getting you a sibling. So anyway, probably till the age of 9 or 10, I guess he finally gave up. But I did do a lot of work on myself during that time of being alone. And so as it turns out, I got into another relationship when he was 5.
In New York, right?
In New York. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were... Oh gosh, where do we end up? I came back here as a travel nurse. Okay, so just to tie in, bridge over from last episode, I had started traveling as a nurse, came back, and then I started working. I'm trying to think. I didn't go back with Isaac. Okay, so when Isaac was 7, I moved out here. And my husband now came out here as well. And yeah, so now he had a, you know, father figure in his life,
and
we did a lot of things. Yeah,
has been for a long time. How was that in the beginning, though, when you guys were dating? How was that in the beginning with Isaac being? Because he was what you said you moved out when you were 7, so 6 at least.
Yeah. Well, obviously, you know, anyone who is entering into another relationship with a kid, you try to do it very gently and slowly and strategically. So it took a while, but it went well. So fast forward to now we're living in California. Isaac is still asking me for a sibling and it's not happening. And you know, I'm not a spring chicken. I had him 31, something like that. And so, you know, my time was ticking. And although, you know, things were going on to where we could have gotten pregnant, things were not happening. So, you know, as we age, women, we could go into a whole other topic on hormonal changes and perimenopause and all that other stuff. But anyway, fast forward to Isaac is 11 at the time. And I found out I was pregnant with Callie because Anthony and I, who is my now husband, had a, you know, a long conversation. I said, listen, we can try this, but 45 is my cutoff, which really should be 35 because I'm already in that geriatric pregnancy stage,
You're
which is always
mature.
Nice to hear.
Yeah.
It's always nice to hear from a physician. But luckily, I had a great pregnancy, and Isaac was super excited because, you know, sometimes when you have an older, that much gap, 12 years, you know, they don't want to be bothered.
Yeah.
With a little kid in the house.
He was starting to get friends and the skateboarding and all the stuff. So it's...
Yeah.
And he's a boy.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Not in a bad, you know, but guys are a little more...
But he... Yeah, no, he adores her. Not really in a place where he can watch her long lengths of time.
That's okay.
plus, you know, it's not his job. So I want him to...
But it's. You know, I think it's a pretty special... And like you said, and I think that's why I was... for me, like pleasantly surprised, like you know, that's a big age gap.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a big age gap.
And so fast forward today, he's graduated and I'm starting again with her in kindergarten. So I didn't, math that very well.
I thought I was done.
It's kind of like, here we go again.
There it is again. But it's pretty cool. It's pretty special. And Anthony, mm-hmm. I was like,
We did say his name.
I wasn't sure. Anthony and Isaac, They seem to, especially when he was younger and I saw him and them, you guys think mm-hmm. more, just because of life, Isaac seemed to be receptive to him in the beginning. Fairly.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Isaac does have some of my loyalty traits, but I think any kid coming into a relationship that is not your dad, but can kind of act in the role as your dad, but you still have your dad early on, you kind of teeter on that line where, you know.
Like a weird line.
It is a weird line. But things are good. They have a good bond. They did a lot of things together.
Did Anthony do the thing where, because this is what I imagine guys do. I mean, I have never done it yet with Charlotte, but have the like man talks and all the, you know, stuff that maybe, you know, I need to teach him this and this about life kind of talks or manly talks. I don't know.
Probably.
Not all sex talks, just manly talks, like dad talks.
Well, I feel like again, he accepts Isaac as his, which is great, which is
fantastic.
Makes, you know, my heart full.
Yes.
For me and for him. But there's still that little part as like a single mom. I was like, okay, well, he's still mine, so I still have to do the things. I don't want to say he's still mine, but I don't know what to say. So I still am a little bit in that mentality of being a single mom to a degree. And maybe other moms can relate to some extent. But I mean, I had those sex talks. I was just remembering. Oh my God. I wasn't smart enough to do all the parental things on his iPad when he had it. And we come to find out that, you know, some Pokemon are a little tainted. Some Pokemon is not.
They're a little dirty.
If you go to, I don't know, what is it, YouTube or
you get the vortex of YouTube.
I didn't realize that there are, you know, anime and Pokemon that are a bit explicit. And so we found that. And I was mortified because he was 8. So we had that conversation kind of early about this is all weird because these are cartoons and I know you like Pokemon, but this is not what they're supposed to be doing. And
oh my God.
There's no relations with anime characters.
My God.
Anyway, so that was a fun topic. But
he's been the dad. He's been the father. Yeah.
Yeah. He is that person for Isaac. Isaac does consider him his basically his dad. Kirk, his dad, is no longer with us. So that was also a big change. But Anthony really embraced that. And he did, just remarkable things.
Yeah, that's pretty,
for
that's
Isaac.
Pretty special. Yeah,
that happened. And he really stepped up. And I think that helped a lot. So now we have Callie.
And now you have Callie. And one of the things that, you know, it's funny is I kind of forgot, but right when you were saying, you know, we have, it's like you were right in the middle of stupid COVID having her.
Mm-hmm.
Literally. Like your baby shower was like the week before everything shut down. I really believe it was. It was like the first part of March. I feel like it was. And then the next week it was like things were getting weird and then all of a sudden everything shut down. And then you were like, yeah, I'm going to have a baby in like 3 weeks. And we were just like, or a month. And we were like, oh shit.
And we were in that
time. Because no one knew what was going on.
We were in that time where we weren't sure that Anthony was even going to be able to participate in any of my birthing experience because.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was just such a stupid time or just such a confusing time because it's like, you know, we live together, right? So it doesn't matter if he doesn't come in the room. Because if he had COVID, I probably have it too. So if he wears a mask, right? Because the mask is going to stop all the things. And but luckily he was able to be there, thankfully, because there were some that probably didn't get to participate in seeing their child be born as horrible.
I actually kind of forgot. I'm not that I forgot, but I kind of almost for a minute forgot that it was during that time.
Yeah.
Just like so crazy, like we could, you know, I ended up coming to see you, but it was a little bit later. Like it wasn't, you know, there were obviously no hospital visits. I kind of forgot it was that you were one of those COVID babies. She was one of those COVID babies, like during that stupid time.
And low key, it was kind of convenient because, you know, when you're at home, the first few months, you're kind of like, I don't want to see anybody. My hair is greasy. My armpits smell. I'm trying. My tits are out all day long. You know, you're like a cow.
I can climb a tree with my toenails. I mean, it's all bad.
It's like, I don't really want visitors anyway.
You feel gross. You feel like, blech. So actually, there's a silver lining to that craziness. And then Callie she's a little force. She's a little force, right?
Yeah.
She's a little spitfire.
She's a spitfire. Yeah, yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, she's...
I love it.
Just funny. Yeah, I was just thinking, so taking her to kindergarten on her first day.
Yeah, how did that go?
It went well. Well, first she started in daycare, and it was a brand new daycare, and she was very sad to not be with her old her previous teachers at the Montessori. She was very excited to start school with her best friend, who is also our neighbor. She was very excited to start school with him, had been asking like 6 months previous to school starting, when am I going to school with Marcus? When am I going to school with Marcus? But I don't think she made the connection that going to school with Marcus means no more going to school at Montessori. So when we made that connection,
breakdown. She had a breakdown.
Yeah. She's like, I want to be with Miss Maria, and crying and, I mean, real crocodile tears. And so we kind of made it through that. But then when she went to her practice, they had like 3 days of practice kindergarten for kids who had never been into public school before. So it was really nice bridge for her.
That's awesome.
I picked her up that day. She's like, I don't want to go back to Montessori. I'm like, sack of potatoes. Done. I'm like, you do not have my loyalty issues. Awesome. So she would cut the cord.
Fuck it out of here.
Moving on. Moving on. Later, Miss Maria. Loved you, but gotta go.
You were great for what we needed you for, Miss Maria. Yeah. Moving on.
And so.
Oh, I love it.
But she's just, you know, she was just very brave. That's how there are times where, you know, she struggles with, I don't know, whatever, but she has that self-confidence that I'm so happy to see in her, that it's just like, all right, kindergarten, new people. There are a lot of friends that she sees from Montessori that are in that school.
Oh, that's good.
So she sits right next to one, actually. And so there are familiar faces. She knows she's going to school with Marcus. But, I mean,
they're not in
the same class. And as, you know, Marcus's parents and I had that conversation, like, would it be better to have them together in the class or not in the same class? And they're so competitive, and they, you know, get along great for 5 minutes, and the next minute they're like, he said this, he said that. You know, I'm sure people can relate. It's probably better that they're not in the same class. But they meet at lunch, and she tells me that they meet at lunch. And I was so proud that she went to the cafeteria yesterday, because she went and had a corn dog, and
she went to the cafeteria.
Because Marcus, you know, she found Marcus later, and
remember our cafeteria? We just had the cardboard pizza rectangle. Mm-hmm. And the cheese, and then you would get French fries and dip the French fries in the cheese. That was the only edible thing, and it was actual cardboard. I think it was truly cardboard with cheese on it, because no one ate the bottom.
I was like, no, that was gross.
Sorry, but she's getting a corn dog. I mean, this kid's living large.
Yeah. But she was like, there wasn't chicken and rice. She goes, but I found a plum, and I had a plum. So I was like, wow, good choice, you know, but I don't know. It's just that, you know, she was like, yep, I'm going to kindergarten. I'm ready to go. And she just like walked right in. There were no tears for either of us. She held her damn sign
that you
gave me. I did not cry. No, because she didn't. It was just.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Cry.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would have still cried. Even if she ran off, I would have been like, I can't believe she ran off. She didn't care.
No. Well, I mean, she did look for me. And so it was kind of like a, you know, pound.
Now, what was the difference between Isaac going to kindergarten? Was there a difference? Did he have he kind of just gone?
Yep.
And she gone. Okay.
Yeah.
So no, I didn't know if there was a difference in their personalities that way.
Nope.
But she's very confident. I mean, even at the skate park, I mean, she owns that place, and she goes and doesn't care. And she's on that scooter and she doesn't care.
Yeah.
I like that Charlotte has no fear, but not that kind of no fear. Like she has no fear, like on roller coasters or like doing that. She's getting better. You'd be proud of her. But I just watched Callie and I'm like, man, this little girl is just so confident. She just blazes through like freaking, I don't know. At the time, she was like four.
Yeah.
Four.
I mean, she rode a bike really early.
Charlotte has not ridden a bike without training wheels. We don't even try anymore because we've had to get rid of every bike. I think I've given you a
You did, and we graduated from that bike.
Well, I have another bike for you.
Oh, I already got one.
Okay.
Has a kickstand and everything. And a little ice cream man. Bing! Bell. Yeah. But I do think that, you know, her best friend being a boy, and they are so competitive, I think that helps a lot with her confidence. Because she's not going to let him do it better than her. And then vice versa.
No. I love it, though. See, that's why sometimes, like, just boys just, you know what I mean? They just, it's so, like, girls should gravitate to boys sometimes for that kind of stuff. And then they don't get in their head about like, it's going to hurt me. And, you know, Charlotte.
Yeah, no, they were digging for roly-polies last night. Oh, it was really nice.
Well, they were digging for him. Did they kill him?
No, they put them in an upside down frisbee with grass and things. So it's in front of the house. And then she picked really smelly aromatic flowers and other foliage in a bag and thought it smelled so good and wanted to put it in a place where it made make this house smell good.
No, we're good. All stocked up. We got some air fresheners of our own.
Okay, let's take a quick break. Click the like, subscribe, or follow button on any platform that you're using, and that will give you notifications when the next episode drops. Now back to the show.
Okay, so you did kindergarten. When did she start?
Last week, Thursday. She started on a Thursday.
Like 2 days ago?
What day is today?
Saturday.
Yes.
2 days ago.
Yep.
You said last week.
Because we're not in another week yet.
I'm like, oh my God, she started even earlier than Charlotte did.
Okay, so she started, she started her new daycare on Monday, and that was full day, and then started school on Thursday. Those were half days, and luckily her daycare is right on the same campus, so they just come in and swoop her up. A funny story. Hmm. I went to pick her up, and the lady at the desk, as I'm doing, you got to do the code to sign her out. She's like, "Hi, are you Callie's mom?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm Erica." She goes, "Hi, I'm Cookie." I'm like, "Oh, nice to meet you, Cookie." And we just, I just was like thinking to myself, "Oh, okay, maybe her name is Cookie. I don't freaking know." And then another counselor came around to bring Callie like to me, and she's like, "Hi, you're Callie's mom." Yeah. She goes, "Hi, I'm Cinnamon." And I'm like, "What the fuck's going on?
Is this strip club
going on here?
Do we make a turn into strip club?"
So I just kind of kept that to myself. I just kept that one to myself, and I marinated it in a little bit. And then the next day I went, and then I met Tulip.
Oh, fuck.
So then I finally said, I looked at them all, and I said, "All right, what's going on here, guys?" Like, you gotta clue me in, because—
Usually there's one, not,
I let
not
Cookie
three.
Go. I let Cookie go, and I let Cinnamon go. That was hard, and something's going on. Let me know. Because I can't not say anything. So they said, "No.
Tulip? No, that's where I draw the line."
By the way, she's very upset. She again tears that she is not in in Tulip's group.
Oh,
I know, bummer. But
she's life's gonna full be of okay. Disappointments,
it is, it is. So, but anyway, apparently, to protect their identity and form boundaries with kids, especially because they do have older kids in the class that have social media and it. But I'm like, Cookie and Cinnamon and Tulip, were there not
anything better?
Shira? You haven't done Shira?
Xena Warrior Princess?
Gem?
She's truly outrageous.
I mean, there are so many better ones. So now I just ask her, can I guess more names of your counselors? I'm like, who's Cupcake?
Yeah.
Who's Creamsicle?
Seriously.
I don't know. Anyway.
Oh my God. That was funny. That's so funny. Cookie would have caught me, but Cinnamon, I would have been like, nope.
I did stumble a little bit.
That's funny.
I stumbled on Cookie, tripped on Cinnamon.
Wait, so it's all a kindergarten class. They're saying kindergartners have social media?
No. In the daycare, they're all grades in the after school program.
Okay.
There's bigger kids in the after school program.
No. Sometimes I don't know. Want social media.
I'm sure some.
Charlotte said, she keeps asking me, so and so will get a phone, so and so got a phone, so and so. That's fine. You're not getting one.
Yeah.
Well, what if you get a new one? Okay, I'm going to trade it in.
Oh.
Because there's $7,000 and I'm not going to keep it. She's like, "But you don't need a phone. You have your iPad. You're good."
Yeah.
You can call me on that or text me on that.
Yeah. I think one of the things that we skipped over in my timeline of, so Anthony and I were here. We lived in an apartment. We decided that we needed to move into a home. And so we kind of, again, it was good because he was able to, I guess, provide a little bit of stability and financial sense because, and again, I think a lot of single moms can relate, but when you're raising a kid on your own and you're also working full time, it's kind of like you're working full time and then you're allotting a lot to babysitters, aftercare, things of that nature. So I wasn't in a place where I could think about buying a house
right.
or think about maintaining a house
right.
or all of those things. But anyway,
we kind of didn't have time to do that. Even if you did it, you wouldn't have the time. I mean, you're just spread thin.
So luckily, we were able to buy a house, and it was honestly the best thing because, again, we're in a great neighborhood. It's a little cul-de-sac, and the kids all play. That's what we did. The neighbors hung out.
You know what I love about your neighborhood? And when you tell me, like, you guys do these, like, block things, or, you know, there's all the neighbors that come out. That's how it used to be. Like, now our neighborhood is pretty good. It's a little bit older neighborhood and stuff. Not a lot of kids, but the people are really kind. But now, like, kids don't even, you don't even know your neighbors. In some of these areas, you don't even, like, oh, my neighbor waved to me. Okay. But you guys are always doing shit. And then the kids always are playing and there's always kids. That's really fucking cool.
I know.
Did you know that when you moved there?
No.
Yeah. Because when you tell me that, I'm like, man, that's how it like used to be or it should be.
I mean, literally all of us walked the first day of school. All the neighbors came out, met in the street, and we all walked. It was really nice.
That?
It was, I really am you just grateful
have,
for that.
Yeah, you have a really awesome, where you live is awesome too with all the like side streets and you can go to the different pools and the paseos and all that. That's actually really cool. But your neighborhood, you're always doing shit. You guys are always even just sitting out bullshitting, or you're doing 4th of July, or you're doing Halloween, or you're doing all this. You guys are super close. And that's what you kind of want, especially when you have, I mean, you have Isaac, who's now graduated, but he made friends early on.
Also.
So it's like, you know what I mean?
His best friend is our neighbor.
Exactly.
Marcus's brother. Uh-huh.
Exactly. Marcus is, I mean, like, they're.
We can never leave.
Kelly and Marcus, we know we're going to be getting a wedding invitation because that one's already planned. That one's, what is that when you put, the marriage at kids,
betrothed.
They
plant.
Yeah. They're already going to get married and I'll have to figure out what my dress will be then.
Don't worry. But we'll be like 62.
But you're. That's what
with
I'm
with
like,
our
walkers. Fucking this old weird, by the time she's, fuck, oh my God. Your neighborhood is really cool and kind of badass. I like that. We have a nice neighborhood, but we don't have really kids on the neighborhood.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're very lucky.
Somebody was looking out for us.
Yeah. And then Anthony also then, I don't know if he took up a hobby or he started that like woodworking. I don't know if he knew it before and then just really kind of said, but he's done so much to the house. I mean, redid the kitchen, did all the everything lights up and then made it. I mean, he constantly was doing stuff for a while.
Yeah.
Time.
Not for
time
a while, still.
Still.
Yeah. No, he definitely likes to be busy and picks up. He's very good at a lot of things.
So,
although he is a nurse and a very good nurse, that's how we met. We met in New York. And
you worked at the same hospital, right?
We worked at the same hospital, yeah. I went to his nursing graduation, Isaac and I did. And yeah, so he is a very smart, very good nurse, but he also, very good with cars, very good with pretty much anything. So I was like, great, that's my in with maintaining the house.
I picked right. He's a wealth of knowledge all across the board. Because I mean, I come back and forget the kitchen, just everything lights up and the and the backyard and he's constantly doing stuff. And it's just, your house was adorable, but just really added some nice,
Yeah, he does have
an
Instagram account. I will plug that here. It's AB Woodworks, WERX. So he does have a side business with doing that. He's always very busy in that.
So I
in that respect.
Is he allowed to do it? Like, does he have time to do it with his work? Or
he makes time for sure.
Because I have a client that needs a build out in a garage.
Oh.
Right down the street. Oh, Canyon Country.
Oh, gosh.
So
yeah.
You'll have to tell me. I'm going to.
He definitely likes
to
do stuff like that.
Like shelving and cabinet stuff. And he's so freaking talented. And so he does traveling still, right? Or no?
He actually, he does contract work.
Or contract work.
Yeah.
And he ended up being at the same hospital for a while, right?
He did work at the hospital that I work at for a little while. Is that what you mean? Or you mean he's.
Because I felt like
where he's at now.
So I actually thought he worked there. I didn't know he was still contract.
His contract was super long, but that's coming to an end, so he'll make a different decision.
And he still likes nursing-ish sometimes?
He likes the life that it provides him.
But the actual
mundane
shit he doesn't like?
He likes nursing, but I don't know that is his true passion. I believe his true passion is being in the garage.
Yeah.
And nursing provides him the life that, you know, the schedule is there to have free time.
And typically, most nurses, tell me I'm wrong, it's like 3 on, 4 off or mm-hmm. 4 on, 3 off or whatever. Mm-hmm. So you do get to have these, you know, I would rather work, if it was me, like if I was back in the true workforce, I would work 2 24-hour days to have 5 days off. I'm telling you right now, I'd be like, I don't even need to sleep. I'll put toothpicks in my eyes. It's fine.
Yeah.
So the idea of having like a 3 day, you know, thing or 3 days off and four days off, however it is always appealing. Now you worked at a hospital. You're working at a hospital. Did you go in as a manager, or you became a manager that first round, the first time?
Out here, I started bedside in a recovery room as a traveler. I was a single mom in it. And so after that year, I had to make a decision on whether I was going to pick another assignment that would have been a little bit further and away from my son's school. And I knew that that was going to be very difficult and probably more money in childcare, babysitting stuff. So there was an opportunity for me to go into leadership role, which I took. And I really, really enjoyed that role.
Well, that's really what you are. You're a leader. You have that mindset. Some people don't have that mindset.
Yeah. I really enjoyed that role.
You did that for how long?
Oh, 3-4 years.
And you had Callie when you were still in that role, correct?
I can't remember if you had left.
You decided.
Yeah.
Because it was very time consuming and you must have had Callie, because I think the balance of Isaac and the balance of Anthony and the balance, it wasn't there. With that
yeah,
job.
I think once I got into that leadership, the first leadership role, I advanced into managerial role, which obviously is still leadership, but then had Callie during COVID. It was very hard times in healthcare during COVID for sure. I missed a period of time in that because I was home with Callie. But also, it was stressful on my end because even, you know, being home with her and still wanting to be able to be aware of the things that were going on with my nurses and making sure they felt protected and all that while I was absent did take a toll. Anyway, I left for a little gap because I came back and it did become pretty very stressful for me. So I took a gap and I went to school nursing, which I was like, okay, Band-Aids and ice packs. I think I can handle that. I could definitely use that break, but it was not just Band-Aids and ice packs. It was managing people. It was, which, I mean, I don't mind that part, but dealing with a lot of parents with kids that have health concerns, some of them minor in comparison to others. It was much more challenging than I thought, but I liked it a lot. I had a high school of about 2,000 kids that I was in. I mean, obviously, I didn't see all of them, but managing the health office there. And I also had an elementary school and caring for the kids who had diabetes, seizure disorders, stuff like that. We had kids in the mild to moderate to severe disabilities. So kids in wheelchairs, kids, you know, that had G-tube feedings, things like that. So it definitely was a good enough challenge for me to still remain, you know, mentally stimulated. I really liked what I did. I really enjoyed my little golf cart where I could respond to emergencies.
And I would floor that bitch all the way down as fast as I could.
You need the nurse, no problem. Shoulder on my back, screech out.
Your
on
wheels
the golf
have
court.
Little sparks coming out of the back.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think, tell me I'm wrong, but didn't you really also like the schedule?
Yes.
Because
that
was
another reason why I'm.
Oh my God, that had to be just wonderful,
yeah,
I feel.
Yeah, unfortunately, I did enjoy the schedule. I did enjoy having my summers off.
Unfortunately, that is no longer there.
But, you know, I got home at a decent time. There was a little bit of a commute, but that seemed to be fine. The part that became quickly difficult was the pay.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
I know.
You know, obviously, you know, you give and take. So the pay was a little bit less. A lot of it less.
You had bit, decent, a little bit.
Decent, yeah, decent benefits.
And you know, it's funny you say that because I think, and I'm just speaking from just my life and your, you know, just a lot of times we stay in these jobs, and I'm not saying your job, you know, was at the time, not the nurse, not the school job, but the prior, the man, you know, the leadership at the hospital. Sometimes we stay in these jobs because of the pay.
Mm-hmm.
I would say 80 to 90% of people are in jobs because of the pay, not doing. Now, there are people that are in the medical field. There are people that are lawyers. There are people, whatever. You may love all of those things. I'm not saying everybody. I'm just saying is they always say like money isn't everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for a lot of things, it is, you know, of course you want your health and all this, but money is a very big factor in your stress, your relationships, time. You had a brand new, you know, baby. Isaac is still at the time was,
still in school, yeah.
You know, he was like, what, 13, mm-hmm. 14, you know? I mean, you're a mom. And it's like, you stay in these jobs, not you, just in general. We stay in these jobs because the fucking pay. And you were like, you had summers off. You were got to do all this stuff. You were at home at a decent mm-hmm. hour. They didn't really call you, I don't
right.
think.
Yeah,
that had to be the number one thing. Because yeah. I felt like it didn't matter what. If we went to a quick lunch, if I sat at your house for an hour, you had 57 text messages, 37, and you're home.
Problems to solve. Yeah.
You know, problems to solve while you're home. Very stressful. And it's like, that's just got to be. But I think with a lot of people in the workforce, it's like, that's why a lot of people, you know, want to go and you know, do their own thing and— Because you're like, but you know, doing your own thing also means you don't have that stability of money.
Mm-hmm.
But I just feel like I know I stayed at jobs because of the money, the money. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, sometimes you're like, fuck, I don't want to do that. So then you left.
Yeah. So I left because, for a lot of reasons, but one of the reasons is that I'm the type of person and also still, again, have the type of personality where I feel like I have to be able to stand on my own 2 feet if, God forbid, that ever happens.
Yep. I totally understand that.
And that, you know, I'm sure, again, many people can relate. So I had to make the decision to leave the school nurse schedule and the beautiful summers off where I could work on my tan. And
now it's just
on
white.
My own
it's
time.
All pasty white.
So, but fortunately, where I worked before, in the hospital that I worked before, I still did maintain a lot of friendships, and there was a leadership role that I was welcome back in very easily. Nice. And it's with this much smaller department, one that I, you know, kind of worked with before, but it's been amazing. I have a wonderful team.
Do you feel as stressed as you did before?
Not at all. Not
See,
at all.
See, that's so good. And maybe that's what you needed. Maybe you needed to get out of that.
Yeah.
Because you couldn't. And then you took that and, you know, okay, I'm going to give it a whirl. And you come back to something. And it's so close, you know?
Yeah, it's so close. It's so, and again, you know, you look back and I realized that there was a lot of contributing factors to things that, you know, led me down that path of I can't handle all of these things between kids, family, partnership, work demands. All of those things were happening in a time of my life where, you know, hormonal imbalances were happening in yes. my body and you don't know.
Damn, hormonal imbalances.
You don't know what's going on. The anxiety is there. The palpitations are there. The stress is there. You're clenching your jaw, not understanding why your teeth are cracking. You know, it's like, it's horrible.
Well, yours are cracking because you could do those cool snaps with your gum and that's why you do it.
So looking back at that, I got that stuff in order. As far as balancing my hormones a little bit better, a lot better, actually. And so my body's able to manage my emotions a lot better and decrease stress because I was in a place where, you know, it was kind of like leadership was like, oh, yeah. I mean, I couldn't live without my Lexapro. I'm on Prozac. I'm on all the other ones. And I'm like, I feel like you shouldn't have to be on those things if you're wanting to, you know, to grow in your career. And I think a lot of women in leadership roles are within that 35, 45, 50 age when you're,
for sure.
when your, you know, body is changing, going through its second puberty, as some would call it.
Right.
So, yeah. I'm fortunate to have fixed that, and I feel like I can manage, my body can manage its stressors a lot better to where I'm not completely overwhelmed without being on any kind of antidepressant, anti-anxiety, which I'm very proud of.
That's wonderful.
But also hugely, the team that I work for, I still work with the team that I used to work for, where I was worried about how that was going to go. I felt almost a little bit like I was betraying them, but
yeah.
in a way I can still advocate for them. So that's very,
so you
very
feel
rewarding.
you feel a lot less stressed in this role.
Yes. Ain't nobody calling me today.
Oh,
my team is
so
working
great.
And they are completely self-sufficient and they're
going to
handle it.
That's really great. Cause you know, like I said, and you know, when you were talking about, you know, just kind of to wrap up here, but you mentioned when, you know, single parent, you know, it doesn't even matter if you're a single parent, but a lot of times we go back to work when you had Callie, you know, you're like, if I was doing this and, you know, more money in daycare, more money in babysitting, more money. And sometimes it's like as a woman, as a mom, you know, and it's not always saying that the dad is the one that goes out and makes all the money and this and that. But, you know, sometimes you had to like balance out, like, am I going back to work just to pay for my kid to go to daycare?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was one of the things I even, not now, but I was struggling with for a long time. So I'm like, does it make sense for me to just, we should just stay home with Charlotte? Like, I don't know if you were staying in that job where maybe it wasn't as much money, like, you know, you worked it out and it doesn't matter. But I think as a parent, as a mom, when you go back to work, if you have the, you know, you do have to go back, and some people have the, you know, they are able to stay home and do all that. That was one of the things that just drove me crazy. Like, you stay in a job that, you know, maybe because of the pay. And then also, if you go back to work, you're like, am I paying all my money that I'm making? If I'm paying, you know, $3,000 a month in freaking daycare and I'm making $3,500 a month or whatever, it's like, well, what does that do? That is nothing.
No, it was for sure a thing. But I don't, my personality is, I know I wouldn't be able to not work to some capacity.
Oh, yeah. Me neither. Yeah. I can't. And I know we will definitely have Erica back. We have 9,000 years of friendship and 9,000 years of stories, but I just kind of think it's nice to hear someone else talk about, you know, things that they go through and medication, hormones, all the things that we deal with every day. And also she's amazing. As I keep telling you, she's a wonderful human. She's wonderful. She's my sister. She's so great, but we do have to say goodbye. Because I can't talk to her all day, every day. Like, my daughter loves to talk, so do I. But we have to wrap up this time. But I will see you again. Part 3, to be determined. Thank you, Erica.
Bye, guys. You're welcome.
Thank you. And don't forget to like, subscribe, and follow to get new notifications when an episode drops. Thank you. Talk to you guys soon. That's a wrap on today's episode of Unpacking with Jennifer. I hope you're walking away with a little inspiration and a few practical tips to make life at home just a little bit easier. If you love the episode, be sure to subscribe so you never miss a new one. And if you found it helpful, I'd love if you left a quick review. It helps more moms like us find the show. Let's keep the conversation going. You can find me on social media at Jennifer_Sattell for more organizing tips, behind the scenes moments, and a whole lot of real life. Until the next time, take a deep breath, give yourself some grace, and keep unpacking what matters most. This episode was engineered by Robert Altshuler. Music by Coldfire. Recorded and mixed at Command Recording Studios.